It's my pleasure to welcome you to the Clark Howard Show, where it's all about you learning ways to save more and spend less. And don't let anyone ever rip you off. Speaking of ripoffs, coming up in just a few minutes in today's Clarkrageous Moment, there's a new type of loan that's a fast-growing loan that is brutal for your wallet. I want to tell you how they work, what to look out for, what to avoid. And coming up later yet, the grocery wars are heating up again. And as happens when the big companies go fight, they're the ones that get bloody. You're the one that saves more green. And I'll fill you in on that. Clark.com is our main website. ClarkDeals.com is how to stretch every piece of green you got in that wallet. When you're out and about shopping, we post new deals for you day and night for you to save money at Clark Deals. So there's new information on the economy that I want to share with you so you understand all the confusing headlines that are going on. So I noticed something today when the figures were released on how the U.S. economy was doing. And the headline writers were as confused as they could possibly be. And so this is one that was from the Wall Street Journal today. It says, U.S. growth settles in at a low gear in third quarter. So in other words, not revving, you know, not being in a high gear. You think of a vehicle that goes into fourth or fifth gear. The economy now is kind of like more like in second gear, possibly. And then New York Times says GDP, gross domestic product, posts 1.9% rate as trade fight and global weakness hit economy. But then at the same time, a new survey of how consumers are feeling and what consumers are up to, consumers seem to be in good spirits. And so there's a real unusual disconnect in the economy. Companies, and especially those that are manufacturers and those that have goods that they export or products they import, are all hurting to some degree, to a big degree. And companies are showing more distress. The market is starting to get nervous about the debts of some of these big companies. And even though it's always a mix what happens each quarter in terms of companies reporting higher profits, lower profits, the general trend has been a little more solemn about the picture in corporate America. I've been taking calls for the first time really in years from people who are being laid off. And it makes it a confusing picture because the economy is still growing, but at a much slower rate. And there are some clouds that gather. There are always clouds gathering no matter what in the world. But right now, it is really a picture of where you sit, how you're feeling about things, and your perspective on the economy. And I will repeat something that I said 2 months ago. And that is, there's enough reasons to worry about the economy moving forward. And as you look at the predictions that people make about what are the percent possibilities they see of recession, that sort of thing, that it's really, really key right now that you think before you spend when spending requires borrowing money. That be careful with the levels of debt you have, because if hours get cut back or you suffer a layoff or whatever, and you're sitting there with a high level of debt in your personal life, it becomes a huge burden. On the other hand, if your finances are really ship shape, then you're in a much better position if your paycheck shrinks some or you suffer a layoff or whatever. And so I want you to be prepared. And the advantage of being prepared is if this is just a temporary thing, the economy slowing down and it speeds back up, you're still in much better shape financially if you trim your levels of debt. On the other hand, if the economy trend line still goes towards more slowing and potentially into a recession, having your personal financial house in order benefits you mightily. Now, here's the hard part for people who save money, though. Federal Reserve cutting interest rates yet again, third time, will have the effect. It's an indirect connection, but it happens where what you can earn on savings will decline. And so the online banks remain the best place for you to be. Another good spot, so many of us have accounts at Fidelity Investments and also Vanguard. Both Fidelity and Vanguard have very solid choices of money market funds that the money earns decent by today's standards rates of interest. So you're already at Fidelity Investments or at Vanguard, either of those huge financial houses, money that is idle, having it work in their various money funds is a great alternative as well. Chris is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hello, Chris.
Hi, Howard. How are you today?
Great. Thank you, Chris.
Great. Well, thanks for accepting my call. I appreciate it. We listen to you all the time.
Well, I'm glad. How can I be of service to you?
Well, I got a money question for you.
Oh, I'm not at any good at those. We should.
I know better than that. Well, a little bit of a background. Me and my wife, in our younger years, really had our credits messed up. Didn't much care about it. And back along somewhere, we decided to start straightening it up. By 2014, we both had credit scores of 800 plus.
Congratulations! That's fantastic.
Yeah. Thank you. It was a task, but we did it. We kept them that way up until about a year and a half ago. And we decided to build a house. We still owned our previous house. And it didn't sell, so we rented it out to some family members, which is working out good. But in the meantime...
Oh, usually when somebody starts a sentence with they rented out to family members, that usually leads to a then, the problems they're having with the family members. So I'm glad in your case it's working out.
It is. My daughter is awesome, and they're just doing fine, and they're going to end up buying here in another year, so that's good.
Great.
But anyway, in the meantime, the last year and a half, we've been kind of struggling. I went into a semi-retirement. I worked a summer job. My wife still worked full-time. And we started hitting our credit cards, of course, for new things for the new house, the appliances, and whatnot. And our credit card debt is nowhere near where I want it. It's extremely too high.
Okay.
Well, my wife lost her mother about 4 months ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and she was the last parent. We're selling her house, and it's ready to sell. We stand to come in to some cash, and my idea is to pay these credit cards off. But I know from past experience, when you drop a big hunk on a credit card or two, your score just nosedives.
Actually, no, your score will go up in this case.
It will.
Yeah. So what makes up roughly one third of what makes up your score is they take how much your credit limits are, mm-hmm. add them all together, then take the balances you owe, add them all together, and they come up with a ratio known as utilization ratio.
Correct.
Utilization percent. So as you owe more on cards, your utilization goes up, and that makes your score go down.
Correct.
As you pay down these debts, your score could go up quite a bit.
Oh.
And back up maybe into the rarefied air that you were in up to the point you retired.
Okay. Well, I was under the assumption if you pay a big chunk on a big bill that your credit score kind of nosedives for a while.
No, it actually improves your credit file. Think profile. Think of it this way. Let's say I'm Credit Union of Clark, because mm-hmm. I wouldn't say Bank of Clark unless I mm-hmm. had lost my mind. So I'm Credit Union of Clark, and you come to me and you want to borrow money, and I'm looking and I see, ooh, you've got all these credit cards charged up, and this one's near the max, and this other one's got a big balance on it. I'm afraid to lend you money because you're stretched. You're overburdened. On the other hand, if you come to me and you show very low utilization of the credit you already have, you look like a much lower risk borrower, and I'm more likely to be willing to extend a loan to you.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah.
So
we can safely when we get this money, we can pay, not close the accounts. I know that.
No, right.
Pay them down or pay them off.
Right. So what you do is the ones with the highest interest rates, mm-hmm. pay those off and then pay down what you can against cards with lower interest rates. And that would be the right thing to do. And then it's more manageable for you to start working down the balances on the lower interest rate ones. And Dennis is with us. Dennis, you have a credit card question for me, don't you?
I sure do, Clark. First, I want to thank you for all the advice that you give. It's wonderful.
Certainly.
Now, I have had a card that I just thought was superior for, I've had it for a couple of years anyway. It's the Uber Visa card. And that card was really, really wonderful. They gave you 4% from restaurants. There was no annual fee. There was no foreign transaction fee. It was good for air travel, 3%, I believe it was, and hotels at 3%. And you would get your reward in the form of American dollars that you could direct deposit to your bank account. Yesterday, I got an email from the Uber people, and they told me about changes happening to this card. And
they're not positive changes, are they?
Not positive changes at all. I think the first thing they mentioned was the word Visa's gone. Instead of the card being called the Uber Visa card, it's now going to be called the Uber credit card. Not sure what that means, but the word Visa has disappeared. In addition to that, the restaurant benefit goes down to 3%, but that's not so bad. What is bad is instead of getting U.S. dollars as your reward, you get something called Uber dollars.
Yeah, and by the way, their new offer, and you're right, they are now calling it the Uber credit card. Everything you get is where the money can be used for hotels. You earn them on hotels, dining, airfare, whatever, but the money is back in Uber Cash, which is where the money can only be used on Uber rides, Uber Eats, Uber who knows what. So
right.
It's really restrictive.
That's very restrictive. That's a negative turn. And then another negative turn, they used to give you a $50 subscription credit after spending $5,000 on the card. And the subscription credit, in my case, I used it for Sirius XM. That's how I listen to the Clark Howard podcast. And that's disappeared as well. So these changes are not to the good, and it was a valued card. It was really one of my favorites.
Right. So what I would recommend to anybody with an Uber card is if you're a member of Sam's Club or Costco Wholesale.
Which I am.
Okay. So their restaurant rewards, you can actually turn into cash each year.
Right.
Or you can use it as a credit in the warehouse club, and you get 3%. On restaurants and travel, and it really is cash that's yours if you want it. And so that one has no annual fee, and it's really simple. And so I would recommend, since you already have one of those, do you have the Sam's MasterCard or the Costco Visa?
I have the Sam's MasterCard.
Yeah, so just use that.
It gives me 5% on fuel and 3% on restaurants. So I'm going to be using that. It also has no foreign transaction fee. So
that's really the answer. Is many times it's like a card that you have ignored the benefits of it that's already one you carry, or as I could say, like that actress, what's in your wallet? You know, so you look and see, Jennifer Garner, is that her name? I got one right. All right, anyway, so I would say you just, where you prior would have pulled out the Uber card, which is still a Visa, even though they changed the name of it, that you instead pull out that Sam's Club MasterCard and earn the rewards that way. Today's Clarkrageous moment comes with a special warning for you. It's based on an investigative report by Bloomberg about a fast-growing loan product that is spreading like wildfire across the United States and burning up people's wallets.
Scams, ripoffs, outrages. It's a Clarkrageous moment.
So this loan product is called an online installment loan. and it's kind of crept up into the marketplace, and the volume of these loans being made is skyrocketing. There's a chart here showing how much people are taking out these loans. These loans tend to be for several hundred to as much as typically $10,000, and you have to pay them back over a time period from a very short 4 months to as long as 5 years. Now, what's the problem with taking out one of these loans? The interest rates go as high as 155%. So not the 390% minimum that you have on a payday loan, but I don't know anybody who gets up in the morning and says, you know, I'd really love to take out a loan at 155%. We had a caller day before yesterday who had a mortgage loan at 2.875%. I'm sure that individual isn't looking to take out an installment loan at 155%. What an installment loan is when you take out a loan and you agree to pay it back over a set period of time, so much money each month. And these loans, even for people with not great credit, tend historically to have been made in the real world, not online world like these are being made, at rates of 36%. 36 has normally been the highest those are allowed in many states. But now we have people going on the internet, having access to quick money and paying over 100% interest. Don't do that. Don't do that to your wallet. I'm so glad you're with us here on the Clark Howard Show, where it's about your empowerment with knowledge so you can keep more of what you make. Clark.com is our main website. ClarkDeals.com is where we post deals for you around the clock. So the grocery wars are heating up again. And Amazon, which has been pretty much a total failure in the grocery market at this point, shockingly, is going to step up the pressure and try to grab market share. Amazon, when they bought Whole Foods, Whole Paycheck, there was a feeling on Wall Street that it was curtains for all the other supermarket chains. And the reality is, Amazon has had zero impact in the market since they bought Whole Foods, and in fact has demoralized workers at Whole Foods with the benefit cuts that they've put on them, and has not been successful at converting Amazon Prime members into Whole Foods shoppers who were not already shopping at Whole Foods before they bought it. So with Amazon, though, they experiment repeatedly. And they try and try again till they either get it right or give up. So they're not anywhere near thinking they're going to give up on groceries based on a move they've now implemented in much of the country, where you now, if you're a Prime member, can get free grocery delivery, no additional fee, from the service that Amazon refers to as Amazon Fresh. And so it's like grocery delivery from other outfits. You just have to get $35 in that basket. If you select items from Whole Foods, that would take one item, two items maybe, get to $35. But it's way beyond what would be available from a Whole Foods. And you get the quote-unquote free delivery that is covered within your Amazon Prime membership. This is the most serious attempt to this point by Amazon to really have impact in the grocery business. Everything else has just been spending money. Now they're really putting a clear focus on being able to take on the bigs. If you're not aware, Walmart accounts for, I think it's 20% of all grocery shopping in the United States, followed by Kroger is the second largest, and Aldi is the third largest supermarket chain. Amazon really has no interest in what Aldi's up to. It's such a different kind of marketplace that Aldi serves, but very interested in taking market share from Walmart, Kroger, and the big regional supermarket chains. So if you are a Prime member, What you have to do is you sign into your account at Amazon, and you then will either, and I don't know how Amazon decides, you will either be able immediately to start ordering under Amazon Fresh, or they will put you on a wait list. You request an invitation, and when they decide they're ready for you, they will send you an invite that will allow you to start ordering groceries free of any delivery charge. So we'll see if this attempt by Amazon works. And again, with Amazon, they just keep working at it, and they eventually figure out how to get some market share. I've talked recently about how you can get the free delivery from other supermarkets. You know, Walmart has the $98 a year subscription that you pay that. You have unlimited grocery deliveries free through the whole year. So kind of like doing an Amazon Prime minus 20, but Walmart's at a disadvantage with that because Amazon Prime comes with so many other things besides now just grocery delivery. So Walmart may have to adjust their strategy. But Walmart's most successful has been the store pickup. If you live near a Walmart or you shop at Walmart, you may have seen on the side of the building where they painted this particular shade of orange that is unmistakable. I don't know what that orange is called, but it is a very, very bright orange. And probably closest to, if you're familiar with college football, the colors of Oklahoma State University or University of Tennessee, where it's just this bright, bright, bright orange. And that is the signal of where you go to do your free grocery pickup at a Walmart store. At least that's how they do it at most of them. Jackie joins us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Clark. I'm so glad to be talking to you. How are you?
Well, it's great to have you here. And you want to talk about a topic that just seems to confuse people so much, but you actually have a positive story about HSAs.
Yeah, I started mine probably about 11 years ago. And my reason for starting it to begin with is my employer started it as an option for us. And when I saw how much cheaper the high deductible health plans were that goes with an HSA, I figured it was a good match for my family. It's me and my daughter. And I love the idea that I could open up this health savings account and start investing in it because the money rolled over from year to year. So at the time, there was even less information than there is now. So once I started investing it, it just grew and grew and grew. And 11 years later, my balance is probably up to somewhere near $130,000. So it's worked out really well for me and my family.
That is such a fantastic story. And what's unusual about your story is that usually the people who use an HSA to their greatest long-term advantage are entrepreneurs, small business owners. Here you are, a regular employee of somebody else, and you've been able to use an HSA to your greatest advantage. And there are a couple of things you said I want to make sure that others understand. HSAs are designed to cover medical expenses that are not covered by insurance or reimbursed by insurance or whatever, and your deductibles and copays and all that. But the money that most people have in one, they spend in that same year they put the money in. But the real advantage goes to you. And do you know the long-term advantage of what you've done investing that money and not using it for out-of-pocket?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that it's tax-free, so when I'm ready to use it, as long as it's used for qualified medical, dental, or vision, then I don't have to pay taxes on that money. So it goes a lot longer, a long way than some of the other tax-advantaged accounts.
So if you keep doing this till the point you retire, medical expense is a big part of what a retiree faces. As you get older, you spend more time getting to know people in doctor's offices really well, right?
So, oh, absolutely. And then another nice little plus is that once you turn 65, let's say if you're, you know, lucky enough to be healthy where you didn't have to use it after 65, you can use that money for anything and you don't have to pay a penalty. You still have to pay the tax, but that makes it even, you know, more valuable and in my mind makes it such a great option.
So the greatest value, though, is when you hit retirement age, that you don't use it for any purpose and use it only for, because you'll have a lot of medical expense through your 60s, 70s, 80s. And so you use it for medical then. And so it's grown tax-free through the years. And then you spend it tax-free. And it has an additional advantage that usually the initial money going in is pre-tax money. It's the only time that I know of that pre-tax money is allowed to grow tax-free and then be spent tax-free.
Yeah, that's right.
So
it's so amazing.
I think you're only the third person in all the years I've talked about HSAs who has ever called and talked about using it as an accumulation account and having built up a six-figure balance like you have. So as a single parent, that you've done that is extraordinary, and you should be really proud of yourself.
Oh, well, thank you, Clark. I appreciate that. And when I first started it, of course, I had no idea that it would have grown this much. But of course, with the help with the stock market, that probably added a little bit of fuel to the fire.
Sure. And, you know, there will be dips with that, but you're not in it for the short term. You're in it for the long term. And so if you have an offer from your employer, an open enrollment for an HSA, you really need to take stock of what kind of savings you have, what kind of health you have, and does it make sense for you to do an HSA eligible health plan, set up an HSA, and fund it as much as you can each year to the max, and then let that money grow. Wow. The effects over the long term are even more positive for you than my obsession with Roth IRAs. And it is an obsession with Roth IRAs. Judith is with us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, Judith.
Hi.
Judith, I'm so excited you're going to ask me a question about solar.
Okay. Well, we need a new roof, and I've been very intrigued with the Tesla solar panel roof, but it's been very difficult for me to get as much information and details on it as I need.
Well, that's because I wanted to talk to you. Yeah, so that's because the first two generations of the Tesla solar roofs have been a bust. They've been basically, as they call in software, vaporware. They were incredibly expensive, and there were almost none that were ever done other than for anything like a demonstration. So now the third generation has just been announced, and it's finally affordable, and their plan is to install 1,000 a week. Now, with Elon Musk, you never know if 1,000 actually means 10, or it means 100, or it actually means 1,000. But the idea is so phenomenal, because you think about how many communities and neighborhoods don't like traditional solar panels being put up. And this, you don't even know there's a solar panel there because it's built into each roof shingle that faces the south exposure.
Well, is there any way to talk to a live person or get more information? On the website, it says you pay $100 and they give you an estimate, but then there's no clue as to, well, how long is this going to take? Is somebody going to call me? What do I do?
Yeah, so what you do, pay them the $100. The $100's refundable, as I recall. Isn't that right? Or is it non-refundable?
Yes.
It's refundable.
No, I think it's refundable, yes.
And so you pay the deposit, fully refundable, and they say that depending, you put in your state, and they kind of give you a broad estimate of what it would cost to put in solar at your house. And so, let me see, you're from Florida?
Correct.
Right. So in Florida, they say that a small system would cost roughly $14,000 for a smaller home, $24,000 for a mid-size home, and $33,000 for a big house.
Uh-huh.
And those are approximate numbers. And so you pay them the $100, enter your information, and that's when who knows at what point a human calls.
So you just sit back and wait and hope somebody calls.
Yeah, well, it is Tesla. That's kind of how they do things.
That's what I mean, Tesla, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it really is, if you think about the advantage, how huge that is of not having to go through all the engineering that's been involved in the past with installing solar at a home and having those panels that a lot of people find unattractive, that this way it's just your roof, that when you need a new roof, part of the roof that would be useful is solar panels that look exactly like a roof shingle, and the rest is just regular old roof shingles.
Yeah, I just think it's a marvelous idea, but I've just been struggling so much to pin down the information. But I'll go pay the $100 and hopefully someone will call from Tesla.
Well, hopefully they actually want to sell them and someone will call you. And I'd be interested if you get a call back so quick you can't believe it, or you call me back in a couple months and say, I paid that $100 and no one has still called me. I'd love to know. JoLynn joins us on the Clark Howard Show. Hi, how you doing?
Good, Clark. How are you?
Great, thank you. How can I be of service to you today?
I'm sure. Well, I wanted to say I appreciate listening so much to your show.
Thank you.
The guidance that you give, yeah, for saving money and spending less, it affects the way I think about every dollar. So.
Well, I'm glad.
So as I'm approaching retirement, rather than just concentrating on a job that gives me a reasonable wage, I'd like to see if I can transition my talents into something that I'm more passionate about. I do need to keep working at least part-time, and I'm really looking for health benefits. But to that end, I have to say that 3 decades of working has my resume jumping all over the place. I'm on LinkedIn, and I had considered paying for the services of a certified resume writer there, but I'm finding it kind of pricey. I'm not sure if it's a good idea. Do you have any advice on that?
Yeah, I have. Actually, I have a lot. You can hire a professional. The only problem is a lot of times, since your career has jumped around and you're just looking for something that's really going to appeal to you, and you might not be exactly certain what it is, resumes often now need to be targeted. Thinking in terms of a specific opening. So you're not writing a resume, you're having to write potentially different versions of one. And one thing I can recommend to you is Udemy. Have you ever heard of Udemy?
No, I have not.
Udemy is an online course catalog, and their resume course is $11.
Oh, wow.
And it'll talk you through what you should do. There's also great videos on YouTube about doing a resume that appeals to today's employers, because it's changed so much. And I'm a big believer in high tech and low tech with looking for a job. That you mentioned LinkedIn, almost all jobs are found by having some connection at an employer that you're applying to. You know, employers for most openings aren't just hiring people at random. They're hiring people they know or know of. And so the contacts you make and thinking through everybody you've known through the years, that's where almost all jobs are found, in that groundwork, rather than in getting the resume exactly right. Also, I'm a huge believer in another high-tech, low-tech thing. And that is when you submit an application online, that you also submit a video with it saying why this job interests you and the rest, and that you send handwritten notes, which is such a lost art in America. They stand out so much that as much as you can personalize every phase of a search is the key to getting considered and possibly get the opening you want. You're listening to The Clark Howard Show. Thanks for joining us today. The Clark Howard Show is produced by Kim Drobes, Joel Larsgaard, Deborah Reese, and Jim Ayers. And remember, 24 hours a day, we're there to serve you at clark.com and clarkdeals.com.